Previously on 1P D&D.
You see Megan, and she's holding her baby. Snow is falling.
I hadn't thought of a name for it yet. I just need to know right now, are you a good witch or a bad witch?
We are looking to get some food.
We're renowned for our poultry here. You've got Drew Thorn Mandivers.
In the end, one of these chicken places is gonna blow up.
I thought I gutted you already.
Did we fight?
This is the dude that killed you, I think yesterday.
Yeah, screw it, let's kill this dude. Where is he?
Beyond, at the Weeping Colossus.
Tears of lava stream down its face, and lava wells up from its gaping mouth. A tiefling woman stands before the altar. Just beyond her is Ren. She holds her dagger aloft and cries,
"With this key, I call forth my master."
The room gets even hotter.
Consider this your burn notice. And I spin around and I slash her. I turn around and I run to Ren. I grab him and I'm like, "Hey."
Myri, look, there's a cracking sound, and you see the Colossus's head burst open. The magma begins to flood the room.
And I look down, and the broom is there, ready to go for a ride. And I put the egg in.
Ah, it's like hot to the touch, and a crack appears on its side.
My baby's coming.
You lie on a forest floor. Sunlight dapples the branches overhead. There are ruins. A road of broken stone is meandering through stands of trees and crumbling walls. This same road passes under a stone arch as it leads southward. There's jagged remnants of thick, soaring walls with high windows. The arch itself is half demolished, but what remains suggests a great edifice, and it's scored, and now you can see with great claw marks. But it looks like the crumbling shell of an ancient hall, as if there was a city here long, long ago.
Oh, crazy.
But there is no birdsong. The only sound is the campfire-like popping and cracking coming from a dragon egg.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Myri gets up, like, on her elbows and, like, looks at the egg and sees it moving around and cracking.
And you're, like, eye level with it, too. Like, you, like, push yourself up and it's just...
She goes over to touch it. Is it hot?
It's hot. It's hot. As you go over to touch it, like, it's...
It's my real life. I burned myself this morning, so this is just meta.
Yeah, hot oolong tea starts pouring out of the bottom instead of embryonic amniotic fluid.
Oh, what if there was oolong tea instead of... Anyway, sorry, zookeeper.
Ooh, eggs filled with oolong?
I love that. I love that image.
Oolong?
Oh, it's good. That's very good. Oh, I think I still have a bandana from my cowboy day. So she, like, grabs a bandana, desperately just trying to, like, hold the cracks
like,
in.
Like, press it shut.
Put it together and be like, no, 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 no.
Like, you press your hand against the edge of the egg and, like, another part, like, you feel it, like, pressing against you and then it, like, is just a normal. And then it's, like, forceful and you, like, it knocks you back.
And then she realizes how stupid that is and, like, pulls herself away and just, like, part excited dog mom watching her dog have puppies, part... oh God, we're all going to die. It's just looking at it and like her mind is racing, trying to figure out what to do.
And as you're trying to figure it out, Ren, Myri, is that what I think it is? And then...
Do you think it's a dragon egg?
Yes. And as he says that, the egg crumbles away and like parts of it, pop, pop, like a firework go off and fizzle. Lying in the charred remains is this... tiny ruby red wormling.
Red Squirt. Oh my God, I'm going to name it Ruby Red Squirt. Call it Ruby Red Squirt.
RRS.
Anyway, we're not there yet. We're not there yet.
That's so funny. RRS. Because that's what a podcast feed is.
RSS.
Damn it.
I saw it cross over your face and I was like, I know what he's thinking, but it's not right.
No. That's close though. It's close enough that I'm going to take it.
It's close enough that it's funny. You can laugh. Dude, we're on fire.
You're gonna be if you don't raise this thing properly.
Stop! I haven't decided to be a mom yet. Let her go through it. I'm gonna be a mom.
The pregnancy test is positive and also on fire.
Oh, boy. Myri's standing there breathing and she races through her brain and trying to think anything she knows about, like, baby animals, hand-raising stuff. Blah, blah, blah. The only thing she can think of is make sure it sees you first and pretend you're its mom.
Mm-hmm.
So she just, like, gets down and, like, goes eye to eye with it, but, like, far away, like, 6 feet away. And then she's, like, eye to eye with it, and then she tries to make a dragon noise.
Yes, she does. For all of us to hear.
Have I heard a dragon before? So whatever I make up is gonna be okay?
I mean, you've met two dragons thus far. Three, actually. Thumberchoad, the black one in the swamp, and the gold one in the vault.
Good day, babe! Time to welcome yourself to the world! Oi!
At that, a little molten golden eye, like a cat's eye, peeks open, and the, like, iris adjusts to the light and narrows down into this little sliver. And
like
it,
a dinosaur.
Like a dinosaur. And it looks at you and, like, kind of rolls its neck. And then shoots out a snort of flame and lights up the, like, edge of its egg and starts eating the eggshell.
She turns back to Ren. She goes, I think that's good for it.
Ren is paler than any ginger you've ever seen before.
That's incredible.
Quite white.
Didn't know I could speak dragon, did you?
Ren goes, this is South Crypt. We went out of the fire and straight into the frying pan.
Is South Crypt bad?
It's not our territory. Myri, that's a dragon.
So,
that's a red dragon.
Yeah, is red important? Like, it's just the color.
The chromatic dragons are indisputably evil.
What?
The red, black, blue, white, and green. You turn to see what looks like a tree moving toward you.
Oh no.
But then realize this sudden shift in the foliage is not a tree at all. It's the thick forearm of an enormous green dragon. She slinks toward you and her wings scrape a nearby ruin, causing it to crumble. The body of an enormous humanoid, still wearing furs, hangs from one corner of her mouth, gummed nearly beyond recognition. She rolls it in her jaw like a cow chewing cud as she looks over you with bored, intelligent eyes, one of which you realize is glass. Actually, not glass. Crystal. What are you doing in my forest?
What an interesting question. Honestly, what are any of us doing anywhere?
I ain't got time to get existential.
All right, that's fair. We found ourselves here because we've been trying to stop some elemental people that are probably also rucking up your forest, if I could be so bold as to guess.
She chews and looks you over.
She's chewing this man.
Yeah, she's just like, like dip. Just kind of like rolling him over in the corner of her tongue, but like...
There's bones in it.
Yeah, no, like still muscle too. He's just like flopping up and down.
I haven't had any elemental disturbances.
Did you... There was like a 30-foot tall burning guy down that way at some point?
I don't concern myself what goes on in the hills. I keep to Crypt Garden and the things that wander into Crypt Garden.
Ren goes, it's the name of the forest.
Oh, God, God.
So I'll ask you again, what are you doing in my forest?
We're lost, and we're leaving. That's what we're doing.
You can hear the rush of wind as she inhales through her giant nostrils and, like, kind of rears back. And she's about to, like, open her mouth at you, and, like, you can see there's one, like, gnarled tooth spearing through this corpse, keeping it in place.
Ew.
Where she goes, ow.
Hello, little thing.
And you see your dragon infant, like, chewing on the edge. Like, like it breaks like a potato chip, and it just...
Oh, Grandma Cloggy's here, yes. So, you're Severins, I might have known.
Severins?
Ren goes, yes, yes. Severin had us here on important reconnaissance. Just making sure everything was on the up and up. He eyes you, like,
Yes, yes, we're just looking out for everybody.
Make a deception check.
Dirty 20.
Well, you should leave with that next time. I nearly blighted you.
This dragon turns at you and you see her crystal eye flash, like viridian light goes over it, and you see suddenly in your head this image of a temple built into the side of an icy mountain, and you hear her voice in your head,
the world of the small things is threatened by giant folks. If you wish to be of use in the fight, seek the frost giant wearing the helm of a white one's skull. He'll be of help to you.
The vision ends, and she cracks a smile.
Well, thank you for your time.
Goodbye, little thing, you cutie. Come visit Gran sometime.
And she, like, spreads these massive wings and, like, the canopy rustles and shakes as she thrusts up out of the underbrush and off back to her lair.
I love it.
Two dragons. Two.
One and a half, really?
Wormlings will turn into wyverns.
Oh, but it's so cute.
Myra, you don't seriously expect to raise that thing.
What am I going to do, leave it in the forest?
He unsheathes his sword.
No! Oh my god, no! No, we can't, right?
Myra, it's bound to be a threat. It's better to take care of it now, before it gets to be... And he gestures towards where the green dragon flew off. Before it gets to be more of a threat.
I'm sure we can find someone who can, I don't know, hand raise it. A dragon, Ren! One of our own!
If he's on our side, or if she's on our side...
Look at her!
I can't determine the sex of a dragon.
I point back to her, and she's just like... got like a shell that's like up... like on her forehead, and she's like trying to get it with
like
her
licking
tongue.
At it, turning on. Oh.
She's glorious.
She's
majestic.
A lot like her mother.
Aw, wait.
If you're going to take responsibility for this thing, well, she's your responsibility.
I don't want to leave her here. I'm calling it a her. I don't know what it is. Ruby, red, squirt. Yeah, that's it.
I guess she's your treasure then.
This is such a bad idea, but I love it.
Yeah, well, at least you know. Let's...
Also, are you okay?
I'm...
I, like, grabbed my broom up.
Oh, yeah, he's, like,
I assume we crashed
scorch marks
stuff.
Completely. He's like, I don't right now. I am a little... Well, I'm a little feverish, I think, but that's to be expected. Bad habits. It's my father coming out of me. I'm admonishing you, and I haven't even thanked you properly. And he, like, bows very low before you. It's like,
oh god.
Myra Stonedaughter, you've saved my life again.
Oh, stop. Please, get up. We're in the middle of a forest. No one's looking. It's fine.
I'm not doing this for anyone else. I'm doing this for you. And he, like, actually takes out his sword, like he was going to, and flips it around and sinks it into the ground and bows for it, and he says, I owe you my life, Myra.
She, takes her hand and puts it, like, one on each shoulder and goes, like, you did it! And kind of throws up her hands. Mm. Like, I'm scared of formal stuff and this is weird!
I know who you are, but it's just in me. That's a gesture I have to do. I want to make sure you understand. If ever you need to call upon me for any favor, I will give it to you.
Well, thanks. I didn't do it for the favors. I just was worried.
You're a good woman.
That's what they say. Let's put this dragon in this bag.
You scoop up this, like, pick it up by her neck. To...
Is this thing, like, the size of, like, a German Shepherd?
No, she's the size of, like, a house cat. At this
point. Oh, my God! I'm crying.
She's quite tiny.
I'm crying right now. Tears. Too many hormones for this. Oh, God. Okay, I pick it up in my arms, and there's still, like, shell on the ground. I, like, break some off, and I feed it to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets Myri's fingers, and she's like, ah, oh my god! Because it's, like, serious.
Mm-hmm.
It's like feeding a red-tailed hawk.
Yeah.
Probably. They're reptiles.
Sure, I mean, yeah.
They're flying reptiles.
Map whatever you need to onto this, pal.
God damn it. She's like, merciful Tamora!
Mm-hmm. And you looking like you can see the cut is already cauterized.
Oh, cool. And she gently puts it into the bag of holding. God, how do I do this? And I want it to be able to stick its head out like a dog in a backpack.
Yeah.
So I, like, stack what's in the bag so it can stand on top.
And what's in the bag is not much at this point. A lot of your things were burned.
Oh my god. I do have Kalasham robes, so I wrap it in these dark purple nice robes.
Yeah.
That are, like, way too fancy.
A little blanky.
I'm gonna ruin it. I'm gonna ruin these beautiful robes I picked up for myself.
That's motherhood.
God damn it. We're already making sacrifices. Did I pick up sapphires and diamonds somewhere?
You did.
Okay, great.
So let me give you a quick rundown of what like remains of your inventory.
Okay.
In addition to Spinneret and Talon, which you've kind of had on you, your plus two studded leather armor is still there.
Can I put that on, please?
You can.
Okay, so I have a shield that's on my body.
You have a regular ass shield. You have your ring of Featherfall is still in there. In total, from all the gold you took from the like various temples that you were in, 1,700 gold.
Whoa, really?
Nice, even number, coincidentally. You have your torches, your fire starter, but your water skin is missing. You got a couple of your thieves' tools.
I have the alchemy jug.
Mm-hmm. You do have the alchemy jug. You have your portable hull, your broom of flying, the Audrey 2. You have two bigwig mushrooms left over from the Underdark, mingled with 2 days' worth of rations. Maybe not. Maybe you should unmingle those before you have a meal. You have a potion of gaseous form, an elixir of health. You have a scroll of flame arrows.
Wow, I'm glad we're doing this, because I didn't have any of this down.
Two fire opals. You also should still have remaining from the plunging torrents, two sapphires and a diamond. Stevie currently has Smile, your scimitar.
It's not mine, it's his.
I think that's everything you have. Oh, and you still
boots
have...
Boots of Resist Cold.
The Boots of the Hinterlands.
Cool, so I have fancy boots on. I have a shield on my back. I'll put on this ring of Featherfall. I have my studded leather armor on. I just get undressed and I put on
Yeah, just
armor.
Like you just suit up and as you're organizing, it's like any task, like you go to empty your closet and then you're like, oh man, I haven't read this journal in a while. And then I'm gonna Marie Kondo my whole shit, and then you end up with just like a giant pile of stuff on your bed.
That's me in this forest right now.
Yeah, exactly. And a dragon there.
I think I put the dragon down and I think all the jewels fall over near it and it starts to eat the opal and I'm like, no, there, stop it. And I pull its jaws apart again, starting to bleed. Get it out, and I'm like football hold under my arm while I'm organizing everything. Ruby, behave.
Like gumming one of the studs of the studded leather. Just
so cute. I'm dead. All right, I'm gonna put all of my food and all of my gems into my portable hole.
Okay.
Gotta keep them separate. Like a refrigerator. Gotta keep them separated from this dragon. I do not want this dragon to get big. That is number one priority. She just starts to like tie this thing so it's hanging on top of the backpack behind her. Mm-hmm. And it can like look out, but its little arms are contained. So yeah. It's like a cat burrito. I made like a cat burrito. And then I go, all right, questions for you.
Me? Ren? Sorry, Ren or the dungeon master?
Ren.
Oh, yes.
Ren,
just needed to know what voice I'm doing.
I understand. Ren, first of all, hi. I hope you're, you know, how are you besides everything?
Besides everything, I don't know what to say. I don't know where I went wrong, but, well, I do, actually. I should have been more careful with my intelligence gathering. I had no idea that Victorio Casalanto was actually a member of that cult. He recognized me almost instantly.
Yeah, that came as a surprise to me as well.
I thought the Casalantos were deposed of after that shrine was found in their basement, but I have no idea where Amalia is.
But hey, I mean, don't beat yourself up. I mean, there's no use crying over spilt pear cider, right?
Very good.
You did the best you could. I mean, it's not your fault that you suck and you got caught and I had to come save your ass.
Hey now, easy, all right. Look. I'm still tender, you know? I'm wounded.
Uh-huh.
Hey, at least this time I'm not wearing a tarpaulin in lieu of clothing.
Hey, I mean, that at least was a bonus for me. I mean, never mind. Anyway, did you hear what they were talking about? Frost giants. Are frost giants real?
Yes, absolutely. Frost giants are real. They're...
What isn't real?
Justice.
Myri's like, damn, that's so good. Why didn't I say that? Go on.
But as far as the frost giants, yes, they're quite real. And there's actually, I think I know the one she was describing. Harshnag wears a white dragon skull as part of his armor.
She covers the dragon on her back's ears.
Just what? He's a member of Force Grey. He helps protect Waterdeep.
Protect?
Yes. Giants are real, but they're not all evil. They're just intimidating. But he's a member of a group that does their darndest to... keep the city safe. One of many, actually. You and I included.
Right.
I don't know what any of that business is. The giants and the dragons have long been at war. The idea that she would want to help us sort out the business with the giants, it can't be of any good.
Okay, now I have a question for the DM.
Yeah.
Did I destroy this elemental door?
Yes. When you threw the dagger into it, it
imploded,
and then that's what caused the Aladdin-style molten bubble race.
That was great. Okay, great.
Which, if it were a video game, there would have been a lot of, like, going above beams and between beams that are crossed and all of that, but we were running out of time that session.
That's fair. I guess I'm trying to figure out if I need to go investigate this frost giant situation, or if I should go back to town and rest.
I think Ren actually is going to make the suggestion.
Great.
We should regroup in Red Larch, and there are other harpers there that I need to make contact with and let them know that the threat is over.
Did you know that Three Strings is a harper?
Yes, did you not know Three Strings was a harper?
Is this like John Wick? Is everyone an assassin and I just don't know?
Once you and I were introduced, I realized that given the right guidance, you could become a very good woman.
Well, I'm all right.
As you stab him.
Thank you. I knew you'd get it. I didn't have to explain it. Well, I'm all right. I pat the dragon.
Let's go, though.
Yeah, let's go.
Do you fly or do you walk?
I forgot. We walk. Why startle these folks?
Mm-hmm.
I stuff the broom back in my bag. I summon my hexblade and stick it through my belt.
Put your hat back on.
Do I still have a cowboy hat?
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
It survived.
Like Indiana Jones style? It falls off my head at the end of the temple, but I grab it before
the fire goes off. Yeah, you're like flying out of this vent and the lava's there. Your hat flies off and you reach back and grab it just as like a gout
of fire.
And like this little molten bubble, hat in hand and back on your head, you roll off onto the grass and this little surge of magma fills the hole that you just flew out of and then cools into stone on top of it, sealing it behind you. As you walk through this forest, you pass a large semicircular amphitheater built into the side of a bluff with weeds, shrubs, and small trees growing up in the cracks between the stones, as well as other remnants of what was apparently once a large city. The day is not quite yet long in the tooth when you return to Red Larch and make your way into the Helm at High Sun, the tavern. Ren is like kind of leaning on you for support a little bit as he is still quite injured from his time in captivity. And you make your way up the stairs into the less populated upper floors and plop down. As soon as you like sit down at a table where Three Strings is there with you, flagons of ale are put in front of the two of them and pear cider for you. As Stevie, now with her hair like untop knotted and flowing down, kind of strewn over one side, she sits next to you and is like, "So, you made it out all right?"
Oh, well, all right is a good word for it.
We had a really hard time getting out of there. And Hot Dog plops down before you with, like, a big old thing of stout.
Aww.
I mean, they were hot on our tail for a lot of it.
I'm glad you guys made it back okay. Jeez.
Well, we worked together and did our best. They were able to make up for my, you know, handicap. And he holds up his petrified hand.
Oh, man, Three Strings. I mean, if I knew any special words to cure that, I would, but I don't actually have the right special words. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I do. Those are special words that heal the feeling of it, so I appreciate that.
Oh my god.
Besides, maybe it'll improve my songwriting. Certainly can't do anything to make it worse. He like smirks a little bit. And Ren, it is so good to see you. Count on our gal coming through one more time, huh?
Hey.
I'm sure it won't be the last.
I certainly hope not. Died too many times. Mm. Too many times.
They look at one another like...
Figuratively.
Sure, right.
She just smiles at them all nervously.
And I heard about your exploits at the Delmon Ranch from your friend Hot Dog here. You really took up the mantle of the Harpers in a way we didn't really expect back in Waterdeep.
I didn't do it for them. Yeah, I don't know why I did it. Anyway, so how is everybody?
Hey, you know, I've seen worse days and I've seen better. I go with the flow. But now that we've given the pointer and pinky finger to then the water cultists, I feel like I'm going to be packing out of this town.
Oh, good for you.
Ain't nothing for me here. I was only passing through as it was anyway. What about you?
Well, we got some information today. It might be worth looking into, but first, Chicken and ale.
You raise your flagon ale, kind of raising a cheers. You clank your tankards against one another when you hear a commotion outside. Someone shouts, "Hey, stop that!" And then a voice breaks low in strange chanting.
Oh, God.
You're at a table near a window overlooking the high road, and you can see outside four strangely dressed people stop in the street astride horses. They carry between them, mounted on two long poles, a large box engraved with the symbol of elemental fire. They dismount, and one kicks the lid off the top of the box. Inside, a small glass sphere glowing faintly orange like a coal bed. One of the figures lifts the orb and begins to chant as the others kneel before it.
I put this dragon, I hang it on a hat hook, and I run outside, and I say, "Any of you that are able, look alive!"
As you're running outside, there is a chunk as a battle axe cuts into the wood just in front of the doorway. You turn and see Hot Dog looking dead behind the eyes. "You're not going anywhere."
Hot Dog, what are you doing? Does he look charmed, possessed, whatever?
He looks feral, menacing.
Copy. Hot Dog, what are you doing right now?
Slowing you down. And swings with the axe again. Roll initiative.
How about a
na-na-na-na-na-20? How about a na-na-na-na-na-na-na? Alright, you will have the first move. Ren, I think, stands up and then winces and like sits back down. Three strings hold a hand on him, but Stevie is there as well. You can roll initiative for Stevie.
Initiative minus two. So he got 11.
Okay. She got 11.
She got 11.
It's your turn first. So you like have this battle axe clunk into the wood in front of you. And also, as you look at Hot Dog with this, like, kind of menace, you can see, like, tears streaming out of his face, but he doesn't look like he's, like, weeping so much as it looks like his eyes are overflowing.
What the frick is going on with him? The door behind me is closed, right?
Yeah.
His axe isn't, like, holding it closed, right? It's not
No. It was just, like, the door is closed, but it's not locked.
Yeah,
it's just he, like, cut you off from reaching it. Copy. Literally cut you off.
Copy that. Just checking. I'm gonna use my bonus action to disengage and I'm gonna run out this door.
Tight.
So he pulls the axe out and I go, mm-hmm. "I'm really sorry." And I just kind of like bump him in the gut a little bit and scoop myself under and like go out the door. And I'm gonna run towards these. I'm gonna call them cultists.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
And I summon my hexblade because I'm smart. And can I reach the one that's holding the orb?
He's a way away from you, so not this turn. In this turn, you were on the second story, so like I think dashing gets you through the bar.
Uh-huh. Can I jump out the window? Great. Change of plan. So I was near the door to go downstairs.
Yeah. Great. And then you were cut off.
I disengage. I elbow him in the gut, and I duck under his axe arm, and I go, "Good luck, Stevie!" And I open the window, and I jump outside.
Make a dexterity check.
Actually, I say, try not to kill him. Make a dexterity check. Oh, no. Is it a saving throw or a check?
It's a check.
5.
Oh, shit. I think you break through the glass, and then your cloak snags on some of the broken glass, and it catches and spins you against the like wall of the inn. You're like hanging out. You're going to first of all take... 2 damage from the broken glass, and then you were caught up there hanging on the side of the wall. You can see the orb still like a pretty far distance away as like more and more people are opening their windows and looking out. Three Strings comes before and he goes, "Let's hope you're feeling like a cat today," and he uses his action to disengage you from the broken glass, and you fall landing.
I look like, up and I go, "Meow." What do you do with a straight face in the world?
He's like, okay. Go get him, tiger. And that is his bardic inspiration. You now have a d6 that you can add to any of your d20 rolls.
To my d20 rolls.
Oh, I'm sorry, a d8, because he's higher than 5th level.
Hey!
Must be the money.
If I use my movement as far as I can get, am I still 30 feet away?
If you could, yeah, but you weren't unable to because of your dex check. Like, that stopped your movement where you were.
So
that was then Three Strings' turn. It's actually now Hot Dog's turn. So you can't see this now that you're on the ground, but we're up with Stevie. And Stevie's like, I mean, I change my mind now and then, but this is a bit extreme, don't you think, kid? And puts up her hands just kind of in a, like, ready stance. And Hot Dog, like, swivels his head around to kind of jerkily to look at her. And then a seam splits down the middle and across his nose, and his face opens up like a blossoming flower, revealing wicked rows of anglerfish-like teeth. His flesh, she can see, is like rubbery and slick, and whipping tentacles sprout from the back of his head. Fish fins sweep back from his elbows and calves, and he... She goes, oh, feck me. He is going to use a psychic scream.
But don't.
So Stevie has to make a wisdom saving throw.
Copy that. Oh, dude, 4.
Stevie tries to bring her hands to her head to try and block this hypersonic sound going through it, but can't raise her hands because she is stunned until the end of Hot Dog's next turn. So Stevie can't do anything on her turn. It is yours.
Great.
And you also see the remaining splinters of glass shatter out from the window when that happens, but you don't know why.
Oh, I see. How far am I if I use my 30 feet of movement?
You would still be 60 feet away.
60?
Yeah.
Oh, bollocks. These idiots. Are there any pedestrians?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. You are 60 feet away. You would still be 30 feet away if I was
30 feet away. God, I was like, no! These freaking idiots, man. Are there any pedestrians within a 10 feet radius sphere of these boys?
Yes.
Oh, I don't have any spells. Because this would be a great time for Shatter. But not today, Satan.
I mean, we're already doing Paint It Black.
So I run my 30 feet, and then I look around and I go, well, it's been nice knowing everyone. Eldritch Blast, the one chanting.
Mm-hmm.
Dice Unkind. 13. But the second blast is gonna be fucking... I got a crit, so it's gonna be pretty good.
13 hits as well.
Yes! Stupid, weak little mages, little squishy little dummies, can't even do anything right. They're gonna kick my butt. That's why I'm doing this now.
For hubris.
For hubris.
For hubris!
So, the first one, I aim at the guy with the orb, and I'm gonna roll damage now.
You are.
That is smart. That is what I do in this. 1d10.
Get your UFO.
7. Plus 4. 11 damage.
Okay.
And then my natural 20, do I hit? I'm gonna hit the same guy. Two sauces. Another 11 damage.
You take your 6 shooters out and he like takes it and takes a knee but still holds the orb aloft and looks at you, and you can see like half of his face is kind of burned away like Prince Zuko. And he's just grinning madly because I think you're exactly who he wanted to see.
Oh, dang.
3 strings now on his turn is going to try and help the Hot Dog situation.
God bless 3 strings.
3 strings casts Freedom of Movement on Stevie, which ends the stun and the paralyze. Thanks for that, but don't ever fucking touch me. It's like, what? It's the only way the spell works.
It's by touch. Good.
And it is Waterlogged Hot Dog's turn.
Ew.
Couldn't help it.
Good.
I could have, but I didn't. Going to like take these claws and these lashing tentacles and lash at Stevie. Nat 20.
Oh.
Nat 1. And 25.
Whoa. Take back what I said. Kill him.
As she takes 14, so 18 slashing damage from these tentacles.
Myri's turn, I think? Or is it
no,
Blue Boys? Okay.
Just so everybody knows, boy is spelt with an I.
Blue girl. Do you want me to not have all these spells?
Oh, yeah.
Do you see what I mean?
You haven't rested, but Stevie has.
Copy.
Stevie got back before you. Didn't have an encounter with a dragon in a forest.
Why not?
Because Stevie's not the main character.
See, if I turn into a polar bear, I could smell him to death. Still funny to me. Next turn. No, I turn into a bear.
Unlike Myri, I don't have emotional attachments. In fact, I guess you could say we're polar opposites. And white fur spreads. Tables smash and chairs are knocked out of the way as a now enormous bear stands in this room. And Three Strings goes, huh, that is not something you see every day.
God bless him. My claws are my orange dice. Aw, dang. 16 bite.
Hits.
23 claw.
Also hits.
10, 14, plus 10. 24 damage, please.
Damage, please. Yeah. Immediately attacks and, like, bites into this fishy tasting now, you know?
Ew.
Enemy?
And he's a bear, so he likes it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Stevie has to reconcile with that maybe later.
She likes the taste of this man.
She likes this man flesh.
Man fish flesh.
Man fish flesh.
That's really fun to say. Man fish flesh.
Man fish flesh. They're the chicken of the sea and the land. Yo turn.
Oh, cool. I run up the last 30 feet.
Yes, you do.
And now I'm going to get hit by all these people. I'm going to pull out my Hexblade and Spinneret. And I'm going to Hexblade the guy with the orb.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to add Bardic Inspiration. 17.
You hear three strings of voice echoing in your head. Burn, baby, burn. Miry Inferno. Good. As you swing through your sword, 17 hits.
25 damage.
You slice through and he... You're too late. And you see this pulse from the orb. And it shoots out and it knocks you backwards. It doesn't explode. In fact, at first you're not sure it did anything at all. Then the sky turns a sort of sepia color, and the air begins to feel crisp.
Oh no.
Then your mouth feels dry, and your eyes begin to sting. There's a whining sound, and the dust on the road is whipped off the top of the street.
I'm gonna pull out my broom, and just get on it, just in case.
Yep. It's getting hotter, and even though the sun seems far, far away, that's when the first fires catch on the robes of the cultists. The robes that they're wearing immediately immolate. The ones kneeling sit there and do nothing as their bodies begin to burn. Then the sundry store begins smoking and is suddenly ablaze. Then the wagon works catches. Then houses next to them. The entire town of Redlarch begins to burn.
I shout, "Everybody, out of your houses! Everything's gonna catch on fire! I don't think we can stop it! Run towards anything that's not on fire! Does anybody see a demon? Just checking!"
People, like, begin coming to the edge of their houses and, like, running, and they see the smoke, and you hear calls as you're doing that of, like, "Fire! Fire! Everybody on fire!" You see out of, like, the local barber, a sheriff comes out and goes, "To the cistern! Everybody! Form a bucket chain! Priorities on the wagon works!" Citizens begin organizing and passing buckets in a literal bucket brigade, trying to put out this fire. But then it is Three String's turn. This isn't necessarily the best combat action. He casts Detect Thoughts. That is his turn. It is Hot Dog's turn, who's currently clawed and bitten and is going to claw and bite back. These animals are fighting each other.
Oh, cute. I do like that.
I do like it when animals fight. That's why I set up that dog ring in my basement. You and
I
Michael
Vick.
I
never have a dog ring in my basement, okay? It'd be in my yard.
In the open air.
I'm not a monster.
Because you're here to flex.
They have to pee somewhere.
What is Stevie's AC as a polar bear?
12.
Okay, oh yeah, then, yeah. 12,
yeah, he's
15.
Toast. It's funny, he gets weaker as a polar bear, but he's way stronger. He's just constitutionally weak, which is funny, because bears are thick, with two Cs. Two CCs are thick.
You heard it here first, Myri likes bears, and so does Three Strings.
Hey.
14 plus 8 is 22 damage coming Stevie's way. These tentacles lash, and like this weird, like wide open mouth sinks in and begins to like lamprey like carve into Stevie's fur and the skin underneath it too, which is black.
Boy's got facts.
I'm like an office in 1987. I got facts.
That's good. Whose turn is it?
Stevie's.
Stevie is a bonus action use combat wild shape to heal 2d8.
Yes.
As a second level spell slot. Okay. She did. High five. She heals 11 and doesn't say anything pithy because she's a bear. She slash 14 claws.
I will hit
10 bite.
Will not.
That makes sense. Claws are 2d6 plus 5. 11 damage.
And this thing flails and makes guttural, watery noises. Anything else on Stevie's turn?
No.
And I think that claw like pushes through the door and buffets like this thing back down onto the bottom row of the bar. Just we have a change of environment, like a Mortal Kombat fight.
Cool. Then, if that happens, can Stevie move towards
those
stairs?
Following down.
Yeah.
Staying engaged, and slamming into the side of the wall and coming down these stairs. The bar is empty as everybody has, like, run out.
Out.
Front trying to put out this fire.
Cool.
It is your turn.
Can Ren grab Ruby?
Oh, yeah. Ren's like, come with me. Please don't
make any more
it
fire.
Up and it's little baby boy is like holding it in front of himself like it's a dirty diaper.
No. And like comes out afterwards. Three Strings also like grabs a lute and runs after as well. Like, and they have that look where like the boys look at each other being like, I thought we were the heroes of our story. And then they run.
Cultures are gone.
Uh-huh.
All are putting water.
I'm like curious how bad this orb is going to be. Like, is this everything's going to catch on fire and then we can put it out? Or do I need to get these people to stop trying to save their stupid town? That's where I'm at.
Mm-hmm. I think an Arcana check would be that.
Would that be my action?
No. That's just you trying to assess the situation.
I'm reviewing the situation. 8. God damn it. I used luck. I got an 8 and a 3.
Based on just your impression, the orb has shattered when that pulse came out of it. And, yeah, they're one-use things. They're like grenades.
Copy.
But you can't tell if there's any magic still radiating from it or, like, you know, emanating from it. It's just on the ground. These dudes are on fire near it, and, like, their composure is starting to break. Like, it's... Turns out being on fire is hotter than they thought it was, and they're not monks. They're brainwashed poor people. So they begin, like, flailing and running. One of them, like, goes and runs into a nearby barrel, like that's normally full of rainwater, but because it's been so dry lately, it's just empty, and he's just, like trying desperately to splash water on himself as he, like, Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru's. The other one, like, runs flailing into a shop and begins, like, flaming there, sending more stuff on fire.
Copy.
The dude who had the orb, though, who you had been stabbing, he is dead and, like, on the ground, just burning.
Totes. He was almost dead already. Look at me. I'm incredible.
Yeah, you got real close.
I'm incredible.
he had 5 HP, and then when the fire went off, it did 6 damage.
Copy. She puts her broom away and goes up to the people putting water, and she's to the line, and is like, you guys, we need to get out of here now, okay? If this thing dissipates, maybe we can save everything, but right now, it's not gonna work.
Make a persuasion check.
How about... Oh, I forgot. 25. Plus 12 now.
They look at you and they go, where should we go?
For right now, outside of town. When it stops feeling hot, you can stop.
Everybody, to high ground. We're going to get to high ground up into the hills. I'll organize as many people as I can. I don't know where everybody is, though. Spread the word.
I run back to the tavern because I know at least there's some people who are worthy there. And I go, guys, there's fires everywhere. We gotta go. Is Hot Dog okay?
As Hot Dog is thrown down the stairs and the corpse whip around and you see this bear slam into the side and run down and then slowly behind Ren holding Ruby Red Squirt out at one arm's length and Three Strings close behind like one-arming everything and trying to get like his loot. It, like he's got like roadie cases and everything and he's just dragging along. As you run in and onto the pool table that I've decided was there, Hot Dog is slammed and it breaks, and you see his like amphibious morphed teeth face.
Must be a Tuesday.
That is saline for us. That's my feeling that I know. Which, do you know if Buffy used to air on Tuesdays?
Oh, that's funny. I don't know.
I was
but
wondering
I bet
about
it did.
That when I saw it online. I was like,
good.
Huh.
Smart. Okay. That's probably everything I can do.
Yeah, that's a lot of movement and running around and doing things. It is Three Strings' turn, though. It's fun. I haven't played a bard before, which is surprising based on the everything about me.
I know, and they're everywhere.
Heat metal probably wouldn't be a good call right now.
His belt buckle gets real hot. It's so hot.
And it's a big metal, because it's a western, so he's got a big metal belt buckle. And just
so burning. Hot.
Oh, how awful to be undone by that. Yep, that's funny as hell. Three Strings casts heat metal focused on Hot Dog's belt buckle, which begins to glow.
Describe the belt buckle.
It says in big ornate letters, Hot Dog, and it's got like a bloodhound like standing over like flames.
Oh yeah.
And the flames begin to heat white hot, and the word hot begins to heat first until it turns into this red brand and begins sizzling into this monstrous thing. Real quick, heat
and
metal
doesn't.
It's
like a big western belt buckle.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a compensating for something belt buckle.
But in this case, it was just a tourist.
Also above the dog, like facing the other way of it, is an arrow. Because he was an archer. That was his big thing. Any creature in contact with it takes 2d8 fire damage when you cast it. Cool.
By his frickin' belt.
Takes 7 damage right off that. And begins thrashing around and like trying to get it off. That was Three Strings' turn. Oh, and with his bonus action, he gives you some bardic inspiration.
If he gets Stevie, sir?
It is Hot Dogs, actually. He's going to use his movement to stand. He only has half of his movement remaining, but you're right there at the door, so he lashes out toward you.
Toward Myrie.
Yeah.
Okay.
23.
Yep.
Will hit. 11 will not.
Yep.
15 will not. So
yep.
Only the bite is going to hit you, dealing 6 piercing damage.
Okay.
He clamps onto your shoulder, and you can, like, it's strange because with his mouth, like, sewn back shut, it still kind of looks like Hot Dog again. Like, you can see his face. That was his turn. It is your turn. Stevie's turn.
Stevie's turn. Stevie's going to bear him in the back. Oh, crit on the bite.
Nice,
and
nice, nice.
11 on the claws, which might hit.
Hits.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wish that was a 7. 24 damage.
As you're, like, being bit onto and you, like, see Hot Dog, like, just kind of this dead eye looking up at you, it's suddenly jerked back as this polar bear bites, throws it onto the ground, and then just begins clawing. It's torn to shreds, and you can see, like, flesh kind of escaping as this belt buckle continues to sizzle. It is your turn. Sorry, Myra's turn.
Oh, God. I don't think that's Hot Dog. She stabs
him. you have advantage, because he's, because I just described him as being made prone, even though technically let's not. Let's just, like, come on, guys, give it to her.
26.
Yeah, it's gonna do the thing you want it to
do. Rip Hot Dog. 12 plus 4. 16 damage.
How do you kill him?
He's on the ground and she just stabs him. Tears in her eyes.
And you stab through, and then a Hot Dog on a stick, Talon pierces through, and he throws out these tentacles at you in vain, and then they fall limp to the side.
She pulls it out.
All the trace of Hot Dogness fades away, and he's left as this, like, fish-looking monstrous creature.
Shadow over Innsmouth looking dude.
Uh-huh.
She turns around to Stevie, who's like, I decided to kill it too. We gotta go. And she puts Ren on the bear and helps Three Strings carry whatever they're carrying. Mm-hmm. And they all run to where the rest of the townsfolk are running.
You get up into the hills, and it's, like, early evening. The fire is now raging from behind, and as the sun is setting, you can still see the glow and the columns of smoke. Many of the townsfolk have, like, they've just come there with nothing. They didn't have time to pack. They didn't have their go bags properly prepared for just this situation. Know your fire escape plan. And as the fire burns, Stevie reverts back from his bear form.
Her
bear form. Sorry. Yes, thank you. Reverts back from her bear form and looks back at you and says, "Don't say I never did nothing for no one." And, like, brings her arms back wide like a swan dive and then just pushes them forward. And you see from the base of these hills, a wall of water, tidal wave through the town, dousing flames and knocking over some, like, structures that had been burnt, flooding most of this poor little area, washing some things out into the valley. And as the better part of dousing a lot of these flames, the townsfolk see that as an opportunity to rush forward and resume the Bucket Brigade, dousing what remains of the flame. Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening to episode 46 of 1P D&D, with Beverly Jean as Myrie Stone Daughter and Trevor Wade as everyone else. Joshua Penn Pearson did the music, and this episode was inspired by the Wizards of the Coast adventure Princes of the Apocalypse. And I know things sound a little bit season finale-y on this one, but we still have a couple more left in this arc. Though, if you're familiar with the Wizards of the Coast stories, you can probably tell where we're headed next. Gotta plant those seeds. I want to thank everybody who has left us a review on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, Allison. That's the only one so far. So if you could do me a favor, if you enjoy this podcast, either leave us a review there or tell somebody to listen to us, because that way the community can grow. And hey, you know what? This podcast, it's only as cool as its community. Which reminds me, you can interact with us on social media. At 1PDND is the Instagram, hashtag 1PDND is the Twitter. That's 1 like the number, P like the letter, D like the letter, N like the letter, and D like the letter. The next episode is going to be up next Wednesday, the 15th. We will see you then. It's nearly dawn before all the fires are put out. the gray-eyed morn rises on the ghost of this town. Red Larch is almost entirely destroyed. Timbers smolder and ash falls from the sky like snow. What does Myri do?
Myri's walking through town, seeing people, like, with all their stuff just, like, outside drying and, like, gathering things that have, like, flown out of their houses.
Sure. The flotsam and jetsam in this landlocked town.
Mm-hmm. And Myri's just so tired. She wants to do is sleep. But there's no rest for the wicked.
As you think that, you hear the sound of footsteps behind you.
She turns around and grabs whoever it is by the wrist.
You see Megan standing there as you're holding her by the wrist. And she's like, she inhales, but she doesn't cry out. In her other arm, she holds her baby, who sleeps peacefully despite all of the, well, devastation.
Myrimi, let's go.
One of the pieces of ash falls on the baby's forehead like a snowflake. Megan stares daggers at you.
Myri just looks at her.
I finally found my baby's name. Ashley. She was born in ashes, now she's baptized in ashes. And unless I want her to die in ashes too, I need to extinguish the flames. She points a finger at you, so fierce you almost expect a bolt to leap out of it. But of course, Megan doesn't know any magic. She's a witch! She screams at you, and the crowd behind her turns toward you. She says, she's the cause of all this trouble. She recognized those freaks, and I've seen her use magic before. On the stone bridge as we was coming here, and back at the ranch too.
I used it today.
Somebody else in the town goes, like, I saw her shoot something out of her hands at those men in the robes. Megan goes, everywhere she goes, she starts fires. I say we burn her before she gets a chance to start another.
Whoa!
The feck are you talking about, woman? Calls Stevie, who's, like, there with you. And you can almost see the fur bristling on her arm. She looks spoiling for a fight. She saved your backwater town. Ren, who's also there, puts a hand on your shoulder and says, Myri, we should go now.
There's no need to burn me. I'm leaving.
She goes, well, so you can wreak havoc on some other town? I don't think so.
You saw me shoot the people in robes, right?
There's a mob forming. She goes, yeah, a diversionary tactic to try and make us think you're on our side. You're nothing but a liar.
I told you to run away from the fire when it was burning your... I'm done. I don't know why I'm talking to you. I can't help you, and you're not going to understand. And she turns around with Ren and puts the dragon on her back. Mm-hmm. Puts the dragon on her back and, just starts walking away, but pulls her backpack in front of her and starts to pull out the broom just in case, which is hilarious.
Yep.
Closes it.
Well, come on, you men, aren't you? Get her! Stevie's still, like, staring at her, like, pissed as all hell. And, she, like, does that same motion, and but to the side now, and causes a wall of water to go between this mob that was about to charge you and you. She goes, let's get out of here.
Let's not let him see us sweat, though. And we walk, all three of us. Or three strings with
four,
me, too?
Four of you, yeah, yeah.
All four three of strings. Us walk very Western style, but instead of towards the sunset, it's like through the shimmering of the water that they see us walking away. We, like, get smaller and smaller and then, like, fizzle away as if we're, like, walking into the sun.
Fuck yeah, dude. You are led to a mansion on a hill overlooking the road.
What were we doing in that dumb town?
It's roofless and overgrown and clearly hasn't seen much use.
My bad.
What's left of it stands on a small, steep-sided wooded hill with a carriage drive curving around from the east. There are heaps of fallen stone blocks and the remnants of walls clinging to soaring stone chimneys. Ringus, we should be safe here. The Dark Lady will make sure no one interferes.
The Dark Lady?
The Harpers have taken care to spread rumors about a terrible and mysterious figure here. The Dark Lady. She doesn't exist. It tends to ward away bored kids and foolhardy criminals. The sorts that are usually drawn to these kinds of places.
And the sorts that believe rumors.
The superstitious. Three Strings, like, takes his stone hand and uses it as a crowbar to pop open the cellar door. And then he casts light on his hand and, like, makes it into a torch. They lead you down through a hidden door to an undercroft. Gloom pervades this chamber, which is 70 feet wide and 100 feet long. The room is littered with trestle tables, its ceiling a magnificent series of vaulted arches that crisscross to hold up a stone block ceiling, pierced in many places by the hanging roots of trees which grow above. We'll be able to lay low here for a little bit.
Home sweet home. Oh, it's been so long since I've let my dragon walk around. Let it out. I think all three of them are like, wait, what?
Wait, what? And Ren goes, oh yes, did I not mention she has a dragon?
Her name's Ruby.